Oh, crap.
The moment when it hits the fan. I'm Meredith Hartley.
I'm Frank Hutchison.
And you're listening to Oh Crap, the Crisis Management Podcast, helping you survive your Oh Crap moments in business and in life. Brought to you by Me Squared. You can learn more at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. Hi, we're here with Deanna Tiemann of Squishy Peanut Marketing. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, Meredith.
Hi, and Frank. And we're talking about epic social media fails.
Yes.
And how to prevent them.
Hashtag fail.
Oh, hashtag fail. All right. The first one we're going to talk about is last year, a British electronics company, HMV, had to do mass layoffs. They laid off over 100 people in their company. They didn't think clearly ahead of time to control their social media, because the folks who they were firing were the folks with the social media passwords who had them on their phones. And so these folks started live tweeting the firing. Stuff like, we're tweeting live from HR, where we're all being fired. Exciting! There are over 60 of us being fired at once. Mass execution of loyal employees who love this brand. Let's see. What were the other ones? Just overheard our marketing director. He's staying, folks. Asking, how do I shut down Twitter? And this just kept going and going. It took them hours to finally figure out what the passwords were and shut it down. Let's talk about how not to be that guy. How does this happen?
Well, it happens because I think CEOs or business owners who give, whether it's a social media, somebody you're contracting with, like myself, or employees that you're working with, there's a lot of trust that is given to us for some reason. Now, I'm not saying we're all untrustworthy. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that if you're at the top of the position at that company, you need to know what's going on with the logins and passwords to the voice of your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Let me add for one thing for the CEOs, the C-suite and whatnot. I was told many, many years ago by a senior government executive. He said that rank times intelligence equals a constant. So the higher you go, the dumber they act. Because they have to. They've got so much time pressure on them that they can't be involved in everything. And so they try to delegate all the things they think that are not important.
Right. And I think you can definitely delegate out your social media. Just have a document where you know what those passwords and logins, and make it a policy that your employees have to follow. Or, like, I know for me, whenever I update a password, my clients get informed of what that is, because I want them to be able to get in, and I never want them to feel like I'm holding them hostage if they fire me, or if, you know, if something were to happen and they want to get into those accounts. I always want them to have that access, because it's their brand, not mine. I'm just helping them with it.
And I think it's about remembering the importance of access to the message, because a lot of executives I see, they are heavily involved in the message of their social media. They may even help craft the messages, but they think that the password is a little detail they don't have to worry about. And it's not. You have to remember that access is the most critical part of your message. If you can't access your message, you're done.
And this has happened with one of my clients even, where they had let somebody go and I had taken the account over for them. And we started doing it, and all of a sudden, we couldn't get into Facebook. None of us could get into Facebook. And we realized that it was because the person had started changing stuff on us. Of course, they weren't noticing, and they hadn't been deleted off before they were let go or right after they were let go. And so they had to go and do some crisis management of their own with that past employee, which I'm sure was probably an awkward situation. And we got it all straightened away and it was fine. But they came to me saying, what's going on then? If this is happening, how is this happening? And I had to explain to them, well, you know, I've got some ideas. You can, you know, your past employee better. And it could have just been an accidental thing that they had done. I'm not saying it was even malicious by the past employee. It very well may not have been. But it still happened. And so it ended up just becoming a minor issue when nobody from the company, their contractor, myself, couldn't access it, and so then they ended up having to spend a day or two getting access back to their page. And I know it must have been scary for them. It was scary for me, because I felt like I had done something wrong in letting somebody else take that page over, but, you know, not knowing that somebody else had that access.
And just fact here is that most security breaches, most
leaks, most...
leaks or whatever you have, come from the inside.
Right.
Someone who is trusted, mm-hmm. someone who basically had the key to the mm-hmm. vault, mm-hmm. and everyone trusted. You know, what the old saying is, you know, in order to be a traitor, you have to be trusted.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't help to put tons and tons and tons of effort into preventing hackings, which is where a lot of corporations are focusing mm-hmm. right now, if you don't also take measures to protect yourself from the inside. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I'd add to that, this was obviously a case where social media ran amok. Live tweeting a firing is an extreme case. But there are also innocent situations, and it's important not to overreact to that. Like, a couple of years ago, a intern for the Red Cross, like the entire American Red Cross, accidentally tweeted from a Red Cross account instead of her personal account using Hootsuite. And she tweeted about her boyfriend finding the last two bottles of her favorite beer and how they were going to get slizzard.
Yes, okay. I remember this.
And this is, you would expect a company to freak out, say that the employee has been terminated, and fire them, and apologize profusely on social media. But the Red Cross recognized that this was a small thing. It was an innocent, honest mistake. And so instead, they posted, they didn't delete the old tweet, they posted a response saying, hey folks, the Red Cross is nice and sober, we've confiscated the keys, we're okay, the employee just tweeted from the wrong account. We've taken the keys. Everyone's sober.
Because these mistakes happen.
They do.
And especially in platforms like when you're using things like Hootsuite or Sprout Social or, you know, TweetDeck or any mm-hmm. of those third-party software where you can manage multiple accounts. You can shoot messages out simultaneously through, you know, 10, 20 accounts if you wanted to. You could shoot the same mm-hmm. message out. Not saying you should, but you can. You can easily press or forget to mm-hmm. press the wrong button. If you were just posting the last message from one account, I mean, these accidents can happen very, mm-hmm. very easily. And they're undoable
yes,
once they do.
And people understand that. So you also have to trust your audience, because the Red Cross saved a really valuable employee. She kept working for them for years and was able to do a lot of good there. Whereas if they just fired her, they would have looked like they were super harsh, and the public trusts them more. In fact, they actually got more donations that day because the beer company that accidentally got tweeted about staged a blood drive, and bars started offering free beer to anyone who donated blood to the Red Cross. And it actually turned into an awesome PR event. So while it's important to know and protect yourself, it's also important not to overreact. You've got to trust your audience.
And I think what you just said, too, is just turning a negative into a positive
yes.
is something that can come out of it. It's just, you know, how can you spin it so the thing that you're now in crisis mode about is not that big of a crisis, and how can you make it into a positive instance?
And now we're going to talk about the complete opposite, someone who took something that shouldn't have been a huge deal and completely overreacted to it, the infamous Amy's Baking Company.
Yeah, and they've been talked about on social media a
over
lot
and over, again.
Over the last few years.
If you don't know the story, you can Google it, but the short of it is a extremely troubled restaurant in, I think it was Arizona.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Was featured on that Kitchen Nightmares Gordon Ramsay show and was an absolute fiasco. They'd already been getting bashed on Yelp and Urban Spoon, and it got even worse after the show. And
instead of better.
Instead of better.
It, yeah.
They were getting, and by all accounts, their food was pretty horrific too. But the owners reacted with a lot of anger. And after being attacked on social media and cursing and yelling at their customers, all of a sudden, they went back, they tried to delete all the posts, and they said that they were hacked, and they were working with the FBI to find
the hacker.
But the
funny thing was, if you were following them at this time, the type of grammar that was used, they
right.
were writing everything in all mm-hmm. caps. And this didn't
yes.
change when they were apparently hacked.
Yes.
And so it's a bit of...
And the press called the FBI to confirm there was an open case, and the FBI said they'd never heard of them. So they obviously lied. It was obvious not only that they had lost their cool, but they made it worse by lying about mm-hmm. it. And deleting.
Now, and it went on, and I'm fairly sure they even confessed to say the FBI wasn't looking into it, but they were just under so much pressure
mm-hmm.
that they weren't. You know, they were just going, they admitted that they
yes.
were, like, losing it with people.
Now, their personal anger management issues aside, let's talk about deleting.
Yes.
I keep running into this over and over again. It's a basic of crisis management is don't delete. Deleting actually breaks trust
yes.
more than leaving the message up. It's better to have a bad, a stressed message or a mistake and then to correct it than it is to delete all the evidence.
And I think there is a time and place for deleting. The
yes.
one instance where I think it's okay is if it's an extremely profane or offensive
yes.
post that's just in a it's just not needed. There's no message for them to get across. It's just something that's really inappropriate. That said, that doesn't mean you couldn't go back and message that person separately if you have the capability to do that, depending on the platform. But for the most part, yeah, you don't want to delete a post. You want to just deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And you want to deal with it in a way that increases trust.
Yes.
You want to respond nicely. You want to ask them to take the conversation offline by giving them personal contact information. Because responding to an angry complaint or something that's not exactly complimentary on social media isn't always about calming that person down. It's also about showing your other customers that they can trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks forget that in the moment. They get tunnel vision on the bad comment and they think everyone's going to look at this bad comment. When what customers are really looking at is your response.
Yes. Plus, it can, I mean, that comment can really take your brand to a different level depending on how you reciprocate. And I think I had done a competitive analysis a while ago for a bunch of the telecom companies in town because I was working with a local one who wanted to know if they, you know, should be using social media. And they were very worried about the negative reviews. And, you know, one thing I found was the thing is with these big telecom companies that we're all so familiar with, that we all subscribe to, that we all complain about because none of them are perfect. One thing I noticed with all of them is none of them take care of their customers, at least on Facebook, not well. Now, Twitter, some of them do very well. Like, I know, like, Verizon Wireless has a great response team. I think AT&T does, and I could be wrong. You'd have to double check it. But a lot of those companies have really great Twitter, very quick customer service lines on them. But Facebook, it didn't seem like a lot of these companies were getting back very quickly. So people really, I mean, they would, you know, there would be a nice, just enlightening post going out on one of these brands, and then the bashing would just come in. It had nothing to do with the post. It was just because the people hated that company so much that they wanted to take those 30 seconds to bash them. But the company wasn't doing anything in response to it
either. Which makes it a bigger and bigger and bigger
response. So then more people would go and go and go and go with it, unfortunately.
Let's talk about hashtags.
Yes.
Several times in the last year, we've watched really big corporations hit the fan, just have horrible fiascos when they try to create a hashtag. Now, on Twitter, you can create these hashtags to have people give certain feedback so people can sort messages and find all the related messages.
It's a keyword filtering tool in a way.
There you go. Mm-hmm. But, for instance, McDonald's had created a hashtag for McD's stories. They wanted people to talk about their fun stories of coming to McDonald's. And it lasted about, what, 3 hours?
It didn't go very long.
Because instead of getting happy stories, they got comedic posts, they got really bad experiences, they got obesity complaints. It was pretty much a fiasco.
People just slandered the brand. I mean, it wasn't a good hashtag. And then it ended up being publicly run as a failed, you know, campaign attempt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it happened again with a Ask Me Anything for, I think it was JP Morgan. We're going to edit this with the right name, where they decided to do a hashtag where people could ask questions for a live tweeting question and answer period. And this is right after this particular company had just announced massive layoffs. They just announced electric cuts, how they were going to cut electricity available to certain areas, but also increase rates in the UK. And instead of getting questions about energy efficiency, they got questions about how many sweaters do I need to put on? I mean, there were lots of really sarcastic and painful comments. They got no actually useful questions out of it.
Well, I think it comes to just the brand awareness. How do people perceive your brand? Not how do you want them to perceive your brand in that instance, but how do they currently perceive your brand? Just be very careful with those keywords. And search. That's one thing that people always forget to do is if you have a keyword campaign for a hashtag that you want to implement, that's perfectly fine. And it's a good thing to do in a lot of instances. But just search it and see if that keyword is getting any negative reaction currently. If somebody's used it, make sure a big corporation hasn't already taken that and done another campaign with it. Just scroll through the search history and see if people are talking about it. If not, you're good to go. There's a good chance that somebody has used that hashtag at some point in time because it's just small keyword phrases. But for a big campaign, you want to make sure that nobody's using it, that you're not going to get slandered by it, or at least that you're minimizing that risk.
We ran into this recently where a group of people were tweeting about sensory processing disorder, which is SPD, but while they were using that hashtag, they discovered that there were multiple police departments who were also using the SPD tag.
Ours here is.
Exactly. Spokane uses it. Sacramento uses it. Even San Diego is using it for some folks. So be aware of the hashtags you use for your company, for your brand especially. And then let's talk about what happens when someone tweet something that is scandalous or offensive related to your brand. Like, sure. Recently, we wrote on our blog about how a Sonic franchise had a sign out front that was offensive to the Native American residents of their town and to the entire country before a football game. And it was a lighthearted attempt by a misguided employee to make a joke, and it went horribly, horribly wrong. But corporate got sucker punched by it because suddenly it was tweeted on social media and it went viral.
And even though it was a franchise, it was now their problem.
Exactly. What's the best way to respond to a mistake that goes viral? What should you do before you make a response?
Well, I think Sonic, in this case, handled it brilliantly because they did make a response. They apologized right away. As far as I know, the person kept their job from that fiasco. And they just dealt with it. They very quickly dealt with it and realized it was an issue. You know, they encouraged good-heartedness to come out of the whole thing and realized it was a simple mistake. The employee had been talked to about it. They realized what had happened. And, you know, it was water under the bridge, kind of. But they dealt with it. Mm-hmm. That was the main piece of it, was that they were monitoring their stuff. They knew it was a problem. They confronted it head on, and they took care of the situation. And I think I would venture to guess their sales boosted that day because of it.
They did very, very well.
And the other thing is that they reinforced what their corporate standards were.
Yes, they did.
They not only apologized, that when every single time they got a tweet that was angry about it, they responded in an individual way to each tweet.
To every person they responded.
And they agreed with the fact that it was wrong. The message you got wasn't just, we're sorry, it's, you're right, this is wrong. You're right, it's unacceptable.
And I
think that's
a big point is with social media, is just swallowing your pride and admitting your error and being able to just take that step back and say, we were wrong. Mm-hmm. You are the customer and you are right and we are sorry, but we were wrong.
It's the art of apologizing without being defensive. And that requires some self-control.
It does.
It requires the ability to say, hey, you're right. We're wrong. We're sorry. I'm agreeing with you. I know you're angry. It's not necessarily an attack on us. And if you're having trouble with that, that's a great place to bring in Deanna and social media managers because they can help you with that outside opinion. I'd also like to point out that Sonic was on their social media. They noticed the stuff the moment it happened. In fact, the next day we wrote an article about it and posted it on our blog. I tweeted it once with the hashtag Sonic, and within 5 minutes, I saw a ping on my Google Analytics, and I knew that someone at their headquarters had already read it. It was forwarded, and within 3 hours, I received an email from one of their vice presidents thanking me for the article and giving me feedback on it privately. Not publicly, privately. You can't stop a social media crisis if you aren't watching it.
And I think that speaks volumes for the CEOs of that company, because you've got to realize that they put their days on hold to manage that crisis, because you know that's all they were doing, was monitoring those tweets, those emails, and you know they stopped probably relying on their team. They probably were working with their team, but they were also probably on it themselves, as far as just being a part of it. You know, it was something they realized they had to take and deal with.
Well, I also think that the Sonic team probably had a plan already in place.
Yeah, probably.
They figured, at some point, someone's going to do something stupid at one of our restaurants. What are we going to do when that happens?
Mm-hmm.
They did the speed of the response says that they were prepared. They had already in place the procedures. They knew who to contact, and they knew the basic message they wanted to get across.
And the follow-through that would happen over the subsequent days.
And whoever was doing the tweeting was empowered to make those messages, to adapt them to each person, which really let them focus on the real crisis. Because a lot of times when your business gets attacked by a viral issue, you think the problem is the viral issue. That's really the secondary crisis. The primary crisis, for Sonic, for instance, is that one of their employees was able to post a racist message on a billboard, and somehow it got all the way out there. It wasn't approved. Why was there a breakdown? Why didn't the manager catch it in time? What happened to cause an employee to do something that was different from Sonic's values? And because they had that plan in place, they were able to get it out, deal with the viral issue, and focus on the primary problem. And that's how you really rebuild trust, is they were able to focus on retraining this employee, helping the franchise owner deal with it, building trust, while also dealing with the viral issue.
And at the same time, they got the message out to the whole company because everybody knew about it.
Yes.
So it reinforces. Do you think someone else at another franchise is going to put a sign out saying that might be offensive to Native Americans? Probably not.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank you, Deanna, for coming and ranting and talking with us today.
You're very welcome. It was super fun.
And I want to encourage everyone to check out Deanna's website at squishypeanut.com and follow her on Facebook for Squishy Peanut Marketing. You get lots of great tips and current information that's valid and credible about social media. And she's also great about answering questions and interacting with folks. So bring her your dumb questions.
You are welcome to. Yes. And it all comes from my point of view. So it's very intimate and just, you know, I kind of try to make it fun.
Yep.
Fun if for
you,
everyone.
If you message Deanna, you're going to get Deanna.
Yep. True story.
And
because nobody else admins my page.
So thanks for listening. Hi, everyone. It's Meredith. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can get more crisis management and prevention tips and strategies for free at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for ME2 space solutions, and you should find our profile. You can also find me on Twitter under my handle, The Quality Girl. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2014 by Hutchison Solutions, LLC. All rights reserved. But no, seriously, folks, no part of this podcast may be reproduced in whole or part without our permission. But we'll be happy to give it to you. Just fire us an email, which you can find on our website. Thank you.